Okay, we're holding on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, just about the middle of the Amud, the second to last of the narrow lines. From here on, till the Mishnah, and actually the next Mishnah and the Gemara on it as well, are going to be talking about the Dinim Mamonis side of Yavamis. We mentioned about the Dinim of Yavam. We mentioned previously that the Yavam is entitled to inherit the property that would have gone to his brother who died. So now, in particular, what we're going to be dealing with from here till the end of the Mishnah, we mentioned in the Mishnah, we have a case where a baby is born, where the Yibum was done too early. Now you're not sure if this baby is from the original husband or from the Yavam. You're going to have various scenarios over here where this boy, who is a Suffolk, wants to inherit some of the property under the Suffolk. So, case number one, Suffolk v'Yavam Shabo Lachlach v'Nichseh Misna. This child, who's a Suffolk, and the Yavam himself, who want to divide the Nechasim of the dead brother. So the Suffolk says, well, I'm the son of the dead person, of the dead brother. Therefore, all the Nechasim belong to me. Whereas the Yavam says, on the contrary, you're my son, you're a seven-month baby from me having done Yibum with your mother, and therefore you don't get anything, because I'm the one who Yarshins. Having more than a suffix, in that case, we hold the din is that it's considered money that is in a suffix. Normally, we would say, now, there's two different rules we have when there's a suffix on money. Normally, we say, amritz mechaver olivaraya. That's whoever has the chazaka. The other one, if he wants to take it from him, has to bring a solid proof. In this case, neither of them is muhsat. Neither of them has a chazaka on this property right now because neither of them has taken possession of it yet. Therefore, in that case, the din is, it's called momen amutal b'safik. It's called possessions, which are money, which is in a state of doubt. Well, momen amutal b'safik choken. And the din is, in that case, everybody agrees that in that case you divide. There is, in various places, notably in Bava Metzia, there's a machlokes where sumchos hold that even in cases where one of them is muchzik, we would still say they divide. The halach is not like sumchos. So when one of them is muchzik, we say amutal b'safik chaver l'vanai. But when neither of them is muchzik, we say they divide it evenly. If what?
That means who the father is.
That gets into the whole question of to what extent do we consider the findings of science to be valid as far as determining halacha. I mean, here we're talking dini mominus, maybe it's different. But then in Isurim, I'm not too sure we would. In dini mominus, maybe. Actually, there's a question that the Rosh asks on this, basically, that he says when you get down to it, shouldn't we say that the Yavam has a stronger claim to the property either way? Because either he yarshins it as a Yavam, or if this child is really his child, then he yarshins it as a yavam. And if not, then he yarshins it. Then he would be entitled to yarshin as a brother. The brother also yarshins from also a yarish.
If the child is from the yavam, then the child
is the second one to inherit. The yavam will be the first one. But if how does it work then? Let's put it this way. We say a little further along. When we go through the various cases, we say that when there's a suffix, whether somebody is even a Yorish, then he can't take away from the people who are Vadai, who have more of a certain claim to it. So here what happens is, let's say, fine, forget about we're not certain whether this person performed a proper Yibum because we're not certain this child might have been from the first father, and in that case it was an improper Yibum. But the Yavam is definitely related, is definitely a relative of the dead brother. He's his brother, so therefore there's no question he actions him. This one, we're not certain whether he's his close relative, whether he's his son, or whether he's his nephew. So why? What? Well, that's the thing. He's either his son or his nephew, but we're not sure. Whereas the Yavam, for sure, is his brother. So why don't we say on that basis that the Yavam has a stronger claim? So one answer that the Rosh himself says that the case we'd have to be talking about over here would be that the father of the Yavam and the dead brother is still alive. So in that case, the Yavam doesn't get the Yarush and anything yet. The din is if a person dies childless, then the Yerusha reverts to his father. And then, yeah, and then from there, if his father is dead, then it goes to the brothers, etc. So the father is closer in line to inheritance than either of the brothers. So therefore, so therefore the Yavam has no stronger claim to it. However, though, then they point out, no, so he's less vaday, so he's no more vaday than this child. But then other Mefarshim point out that according to the Rambam, there doesn't seem to be a distinction between whether the grandfather was alive or not, so therefore they answer on different various grounds, one of them being that we can't say that he has more of a claim when we're not certain what the basis of his claim is, whether the basis of his claim is that he's a brother or whether the basis of his claim is that he's a Yavam. There's a lot of different answers, but anyway. So therefore we're left with that it's a suffix.
That's when the Yavam was within the 3 months.
Within 3 months, that's what we're talking about, yeah.
After 3 months,
then there would be no question because there would be no whose baby it is. Yeah. Kind of. Next case. Safik uvnei yavam shabal lachlik v'nichnei misna. Let's say now you have this Safik, this child who we're not sure which of the brothers he was born, which of the brothers' sons he is, and the sons of the yavam come to divide the property. So what happens is similar to the previous scenario. The difference is there you have the yavam himself was involved. Here the yavam himself, before they had a chance to divide up the inheritance, the yavam passed away. So now his children are coming and claiming that we inherit our father's share of the estate. Safik amar hu gabra ba misnahu. So the Safik claims that I'm the son of the original dead brother, Reuben, v'nichsi didihu, and therefore all the nechasim belong to me. We're on Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, a little past the middle of the Amud. V'nei yavam amri atachino at, whereas the sons of the yavam say, You may very well be our brother, because you may be the son of our father, the Yavam. Umansahu di Islach Bahadan. So you don't get the whole thing. You do deserve a portion together with us. An equal portion to the rest of us, but not half like you're claiming.
Why?
Because they're saying, he's saying, look, you have two brothers. You have Reuben and Shimon. Reuben died. Shimon did this Yibum, and then afterwards this child was born where we're not sure if it's Reuben or Shimon. Shimon, the brother who did Yibum, has other sons. Now, when Shimon, if Shimon dies before they had a chance to divide the inheritance that would have originally been Reuven's, what do? This child is claiming I'm Reuven's son, therefore Shimon never had a right to inherit it in the first place, therefore I get everything. Whereas the other brothers say, no, you're one of Shimon's children, like us, so fine, there's 10 of us, and you get 1/10 of the property, or whatever it is. So, Savur Rabbanan Kamedi Rav Mashashi Elamema, so the Rabbanan who were learning by Rav Mashashi thought to say, Masnissani, that this is similar to a case later on in the Masechta, in a Mishnah. Ditnan, the Mishnah talks about just such a case where you have a child where we're not sure if it's from the first brother or the second brother. And the Mishnah says over there, who ain't a Yoda show? Some that when it comes to Yerusha, he can't Yaushin from them. If any of them die childless, he can't claim that meaning the Suffolk. This child is a Suffolk. He can't Yaushin any of them let me clarify. The case that the Mishnah is talking about over there is it's not really a case of Yibum. It's a case where you have this child. No, it's within the 3 months. So what do we have? Each of the fathers had other children from other wives or from other wives.
The brothers.
This child was a Suffolk. You had originally Reuben and Shimon. Where Reuben died, Shimon did this questionable Yibum, this Yibum within 3 months. Now this child was born. Let's say that both Reuben and Shimon had children, you couldn't really say questionable Yibum, because if he had children, then you're not doing Yibum in the first place. Rather, the case is, we're not talking about Yibum, we're talking about a woman's husband died, she remarried within 3 months, she had a baby with her new husband, we're not sure whether this baby is from the original husband or from the second one, each of those husbands had other children as well.
Right.
From other wives, let's say. So what happens is, therefore, so if one of the brothers from either family dies and without children and he wants to yarshin them, each one can claim you belong to the other family. So therefore he can't yarshin them. Behem yoshinoise, but they can yarshin him, because either way, however you look at it, he's their brother. V'hacha ipcha. So the Rabbanan thought to say, in that case, here it's the other way around. In that case, we're saying they have more of a chazakah, They have more of a chazaka. The other children from each of the two husbands have more of a chazaka in the nechassim because each of them knows that they are their respective father's children. Whereas here, the other way around, he's the one who has the greater chazaka. Because either we say because one, however, even they are admitting that he has a share in this property. He's claiming all the more so. I have even more of a share of that because I'm actually the son of the first brother.
That's the son who was conceived within
3 months before the Yibum, right?
Right.
Yeah. So therefore,
why was he claiming the greater?
Because he's claiming that he is the Yavam's son. He gets the exclusive share. Not the Yavam's son. He claims that he's the Mess's son. Therefore, he gets the exclusive, he gets the property exclusive. Any property that belonged to his father goes to him exclusive.
That's the question. Is he? What he claims is one thing. The fact that he's a suspect.
Right, but no, but he has a greater chazaka. Because in that case, each family is saying, you don't belong to us. Here, however you look at it, he somehow belongs to this family. Either he is the Mess's son and he gets everything, or he's the Yavam's son and he gets his percentage of the property. Obviously, the Mess had no other children. If he had other children, we wouldn't be talking about Yibum. Yeah. No. There's two different cases. There's a Mishnah later on in the Masechta that does not talk about Yibum. That talks about a plain case where a woman was married to one man and then remarries another man, an unrelated man, within 3 months.
In this case,
we're talking about Yibum
within three months,
right? So therefore, this suffix has on the face of it has a greater chazaka to belonging to some of them at least. Therefore, you would think chasim amulei aiti ayirsho. So there, the Mishnah is saying that he has to bring a proof before he's able to get either of their inheritance. The suffix, yeah. If you're on the contrary, he should be able to tell them, you bring a proof that I'm not entitled to all the property. And then you should be able to. Because, yeah.
He's either the son of the Yibum, or he is son of...
Yeah. He's either the son of the Yavam, or he's the son of the original brother of the Mess, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So they have to prove.
So that's what the Chachamim thought to say. How could you compare it? In that case, they are the Vaday. Each of them, in the case without Yibum, right? Each of the children on each of the sides are Vaday, that they belong to their respective fathers. The Ihu Safik, him, we're not sure which father he belongs to. Therefore, we're not sure. Therefore, we can say each one of them can say when he comes to divide Reuben's inheritance with Reuben's children, they can tell him you're actually Shimon's son. Shimon, vice versa, yeah. Whereas here, everybody is a suffix because the suffix himself is not saying for sure I am the Mess's son. He's saying there's a possibility I'm the Mess's son. So, on what grounds is he claiming the Yerusha? Is he claiming it on the grounds that he's the Mess's son, or is he claiming a share of it on the grounds that he's the Yavam's son? There's two different grounds that he's claiming on.
Correct.
So you can't call it that he's Vaday.
No.
So therefore he's considered suffix.
He is suffix.
And therefore, so Ella.
We said that he was a Vada.
Okay, because we thought you said because he's a Vada, because for sure he's some kind of inheritor. But now we're saying no.
An inheritor, but we don't know who.
So that's why we're answering. Now that we see that it's two different grounds, and no. Ella, Damya, Lamasnifin, Laha Damya. But rather, if you want to compare this case to a Mishnah, you can compare it to the following case. What about the case you have where the Suffolk and the sons of the Yavam want to divide the Yavam's own property? Now we're changing things. It's not they're trying to divide the Mess's property, the original dead brother. Now it's the Yavam himself died, and they're ready to divide his own property. Where there, they would tell him, bring a proof that you're our brother, and then you'll be able to pay.
That makes sense.
So the same thing over here. Then we would say, you know, when it comes to the property of the Mess, we would also consider him to be a Suffolk.
Yeah, because, he has to prove that he's Yavam.
Yeah.
That is the Suffolk.
Right. So you would have to bring a Raya, and if he can't, then he doesn't get it.
Why can't he bring a Raya?
He can't, so then in that case, then there's nothing to do.
So what happens then?
So then he doesn't get the Yerusha.
At all.
Apparently not. Next case. Suffolk of Yavam Shabo Lachlos Benichse Yavam Lebosser Depolik Yavam Benichse Mista. Now we have another wrinkle. In this case, the it's again the Suffolk, and it's again the Suffolk versus the children of the Yavam. Again, they're dividing the Nechasim of the Yavam. The difference is, in this case, now we're talking something new. The Yavam had already received his share of the original messes of the original dead brother in the Nechasim. So we have the original brother in the Nechasim had been, the Yavam had performed the Yavam, so therefore he got his portion of them.
The original brother passed away.
The original brother passed away, so the Yavam inherited his portion of their original father, of their father's estate, the portion that would have gone.
Went back to the father.
In other words, so the father had two children, let's say, three children. So the first brother who died, let's say he wasn't a Bechor to keep things simple,
let's say there was no Bechor to keep things simple.
So each of the children would be getting one third.
Right.
So the Yavam, the mess died, so now the Yavam is getting two portions, his own and his brother's. Now he himself died, and now the Suffolk and the Yavam's other children are coming to divide the property. This Suffolk being this child that was born where the Yavam did Yibum within 3 months after the brother's death, and therefore we have no way of knowing whether this child belonged to the original, to the mess, and therefore the Yibum was no good, or whether to the Yavam and it was a proper Yibum and then that child was born.
The only difference here is that the brother passed away, already inherited.
That the Yavam already inherited from the brother, from the original brother, right? Yeah. So, Bnei Yavam Amri have Aisi Raya Dachuna Afishkel. So, again, the children of the Yavam are saying, bring a proof that you're our brother, and then you'll be able to get it. But in this case, Amalahu Suffolk, in this case, the Suffolk has a counter-argument. He says, Monaf Shaykhu, however you look at it. If I'm your brother, one of the children of the Yavam, then I deserve a portion with you out of the Yavam's estate. And if not, if I'm really the original Mess's son, then give me the portion that the Yavam took, which should by rights have gone to me.
That's
going to be the question. That's the question. He's claiming that the guy yashined it improperly in the first place because I may well be. The original brother. Yeah.
He owns it.
No, but still, you can't just say it because somebody owns it. Otherwise, I mean, what do you do when someone steals something or whatever? That's going to be the question, basically. Do we undo that decision?
So he says either I'm the son of the Yavam.
And in that case, I should get everything.
And I should get the Yavam's part and...
I should get the whole Yavam's part, and then you guys have whatever else originally belonged to the Yavam, then you guys take...
If I'm not the Yavam's son...
Then I get an equal portion of the property with you because we're there. No, if I am the Yavam's son, then I get an equal. If I am the Yavam's son, then we all inherit the Yavam's property equally, including what he inherited from the brother.
The other case
is better. So Rashi points out the case. You might have a case, for example. What happens? Say, for example, the original brother had very few nechassim. The Yavam has a lot of nechassim, so he might be better off. Yeah.
But he couldn't have the way around.
Rav Abba Omar Rav Kom Dina. So Rav Abba says in the name of Rav that the din nevertheless remains. Once the din has been decided, like you just said, sort of, you know, they have possession of it already. Once the estate has been settled, then you don't have the right to protest it and then say that it was done improperly.
In other words, after the Yavam inherited from his brother, cannot be redistributed.
Then we can't say that we're going to undo that and say that maybe the Yavam never had a right to it. As far as that, we're going to discount that argument. As far as the argument, well, at least I should be entitled to my share of the Nifsa Yavam, we're going to tell them, well, bring proof that you're the Yavam's son. So we're back to that case. On the other hand, Rabbi Yumiya Omar Hodder Din. Rabbi Yumiya says we undo the Din, meaning yes. We do pay attention to his argument. We either have to redistribute everything, or he has to get his share.
And the previous opinion was from?
It was Rav Abba Amar Rav. So we have Rav Abba in the name of Rav versus Rav Yemiya. In the name of nobody, in his own name. The question is, though, lema b'plukta d'admin v'rabbanan k'lifrigi. Can we say that they are actually arguing on the same argument that we find that the Tanoim, that Admon and the Rabbanan argue? Admon, the Gemara mentions in Ksubas, in the last Perek, was one of they had two Dayonim, of their two Dayonic Zeris, they're called, in Yerushalayim. One of them was named Admon, in Yerushalayim, obviously, before the Churban. We may have mentioned him, I don't remember. Anyway. So there's a bunch of cases there in Ksubas, in the last or next to last parak that Admon and the Rabbanan argue on. One of them is the following case. Nitzanan, Misha halach l'medina seyam. Suppose you have a person had a field, and he... All right. Okay. You had a person had a field, and surrounding his field were other fields, and he had a path to get to his field through one of the other fields. You have to be able to get from the street to his field. So he had an easement, yeah. But now, Misha Holoch on the Dinah Siyam, he went to an overseas country, but Abdullah Derech said there, and he lost track of where the path was, where the easement was. They forgot where it was.
Why are we bringing it?
Because we're going to see. It's going to be relevant to our case. Admon Amar Yelech B'Tzara, so Admon says he's allowed to go on the shortest possible path, meaning that we're going to see in a minute that it sounds like it means that he's entitled to pick the shortest path through the field and take that back over.
Even if it's not the initial easement.
That seems to be the assumption, but wait. The Chum say no. Yikach l'derech b'meh mona or yifrach b'aver. Let him, if he has to pay 100 mona, if it is an exorbitant sum, to buy himself a new easement, a new path, or go fill out the fly. In other words, basically tough luck. We're not sure.
Connection. We redistribute or we don't redistribute.
Yeah. Well, wait. We're not sure because Bahavinan Ba. Now, in Ksubas over there, we have a discussion as follows. L'Rabbanan Shafik Kama Admon. Doesn't Admon have a good point? I mean, why shouldn't he be entitled to some kind of easement after all? He had one originally. Just because we lost track where it is, why shouldn't we give him back something in return?
Admon's saying that he should have.
That he should have some kind of easement.
Some kind of easement.
Yeah.
The initial one that he had.
We don't know if it's the initial one, but at least we're at least something. He has to be able to get to his field. The Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. So Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Hachav Mayaskinen, Kugan Shi Kufua, Abba B'nei Adam, Abba Ruchas. The case is actually where you have the four surrounding fields belong to four different people. So if he goes to Reuven and says, I need a path through your field, Reuven can tell him, how do you know the path was originally in my field? It was originally in Shimon's field. Shimon will tell him Levi, etc. Yeah. Okay, then the question is, well, then what's Admon's law? And this is all discussion there in Silvis. So we're quoting it over here because of the relevance of it that we're going to get to. If you have that the four owners themselves come from four, meaning originally you had originally this person when he was still in town, the four surrounding fields belonged to Reuben, Shimon, Levi, and Yehuda. He left town, and meanwhile, those four sold it to four other people, Yehuda, Yisachar, Zvulun, Don, and Naphtali. Or, V'avad, Asim, V'kayachad, or if you have the current owners of four, and the original owner was one, Kulam, let's look at the Matzmatchele, then everybody would agree that they can each push them off to the, they can each fob them off on the other. Because there's four different landowners.
And therefore,
any one of them that he goes to and says, I have a right to an easement on your property, they can tell him, you don't have a right to an easement on my property. You have an easement. You right to an easement on the next guy's property.
Well, can
I
come
register his word? Or he has a field there. He obviously at some point had a way to get to it. But we don't know where that way is. The truth is, some of us do point out, we're not necessarily talking about that he actually owned the path, because if he actually owned it, we're not going to just on that basis just take it away, just expropriate it from him. But what we mean is that's why it's an important point that you mentioned it's an easement. It doesn't actually belong to him per se, but he had the right to use it. No, I don't know if it necessarily has to be written down. But, yeah. I mean, if it was written down, then obviously you'd have something. But yeah, basically. So the bottom line is, if there's four different landowners, then there's no question that each of them can tell him the easement is b'chol not on my property. You don't have any proof that it is. Go away. Go bug the next guy. Ki pligi b'chadik osim b'kaya chabah, the machloikas between Admon and the Chachamim. No, this is that once we explain what the machloikas is, then we'll understand the relevance of a Torah case. The machloikas is where you have one guy who bought the four surrounding fields from four different people. So originally there were four different owners, but now it's only one.
when he used the easement, there were four different owners.
Right. Now we lost track where that is. Now, but now, meanwhile, while he was out of town, one guy bought all the four surrounding properties. So, Admin Sava Mati Amalei Makom Wakam Daki Gabal Chutza, Admin holds, well, in that case, he has the right to say, however you look at it, no matter what, okay, maybe the original easement was in this field, maybe it was in this field, whatever. The bottom line is it all belongs to you now, so I'm entitled to some kind of easement. Verabbanan Savri, and the Rabbanan answer no. To Amalei, he can tell him like this. Ishaskis shaskis. If you keep quiet, then good. Keep quiet. The guy in the middle, the guy who's claiming the easement. The Eloi, and if not, Madana Shtarlamarayhu, then what I will do is I will return the four deeds to the original owners. In other words, I'll undo the fact that I bought. Whatever. Wait. And then you'll be stuck. You won't be able to have any kind of claim against them. So what is he saying? In other words, Rashi says he's saying like this: if you keep quiet and don't demand the easement from me, then I'll do you a favor and not charge you a high price for it. I'll charge you a reasonable price for it.
From the one who owns the four.
Yeah. So he's saying like this: you want the easement for free. I'm not prepared to give it to you for free. But at least if you keep quiet and don't schlep me to Beis Din over this, then I'll do you a favor. I'll sell it to you. I'll sell you an easement cheap. Because otherwise, then you're going
to
wind up being in trouble because you're not going to be able to claim it from anybody.
The owner of the four fields is going to take it away from him and.
No, not the Chachamim. He's saying himself, I have the option, rather than having you schlep me to Beis Din, me having to waste time in Beis Din, I can do very simply. I can go re-give back the field to the four original owners, and then you're stuck.
But he's more stuck.
No, but that's he doesn't literally mean that he has to do that. But he means like you know I always have that option.
He
can get his money back. That's true. The truth is, I mean, Rashi is saying over here that what he's saying is shaskus means then you know at least you'll gain that I won't overcharge you for the pack. Tosfos actually says Tosfos actually learns differently. That's no, I mean we're saying you say you're gonna have to be prepared to pay any price that you have to pay. So it just means that basically, you know, if you keep quiet, then good, and at least you'll have only me to deal with. Otherwise, you're gonna have four people to deal with. Now there is actually there's a further discussion. No, that's the thing. He's not willing to risk because like Jacob said, he could undo the sale and get back his money, let's say, or whatever. At least it's a threat. Now, Mephoshim point out that the guy in the middle should have a counter threat. Not really a counter threat, but he should be able to say he should be able to say l'chitedar. You know what? If you go back and return those fields to the original owners, then I'll worry about it. Right now you haven't. In other words, sort of like you know, sort of like I'm calling you bluff. So, but there's different cases. So there's different cases. In certain cases, we will accept that as a valid counterclaim. In certain cases, we won't. Part of it depends on this issue of whether the easement actually belonged to him versus whether he just had the right to use it. There's a number of other factors that go into it also. Part of it, that's basically the thing. It's a question, are we just taking away his chazaka or are we taking away actual property that belonged to him? That's a big concern. But yeah, that's kind of a side point, though. The main point is.
You said initially it's not he.
Right. Some of the forums explain that we're talking. There are two possibilities. There could be. Yeah. So Lema Rab Abba Da'ama Kerabbanan Rab Yemi Da'ama Kadman. So it sounds like Rab Abba says like the Rabbanan. Therefore, Rab Abba is saying that come Dina, we still keep things the way that they are. And Rab Yemiya sounds like he's going like Admon. That was saying that Admon is saying no matter what, either way you look at it, he has some kind of right to a path over here, and the Rabbanan are saying no. By the same token, over here with the Suffolk and the Bnei Yavam, he's arguing that however you look at it, I have a right to some of this property. They're arguing that you don't have any proof. And according to Rav Kumdina, you know, we leave matters in the chazaka the way they are now, which sounds like the Rabbanan are saying this one landowner has a chazaka now in everything in the field, including the easement.
Also,
Yes. So it sounds like the same machlokas. Yeah. Amalach Rab Abba. So Rab Abba can answer you. Yano de Amri Afilu Kadma. No, I could be even saying when I say that you that comes, you know, that we still leave the division the way it was, and we don't redivide the property of the Yavam. Afilu Kadma. That could even be according to Admin. Because in that case, why is Admon saying that he has the right to this easement? Because he can say, because he has this argument. However you look at it, I'm entitled to a pathway. In other words, it's a tainus bari. He knows for a fact he had an easement there, someplace on what's now your property. I at one time that property belonged to other people. We're not concerned. Admon's not concerned about that.
Initially, the position of Admon was what?
Admin was saying you give him the shortest path. You give him some kind of path.
Some kind of path.
Yeah.
And now?
That's what we're saying. Because why does Admin say that? Because the person in the middle has a tainas bari. He has a definite claim. There's no question, someplace in these surrounding fields, I had an easement. They once belonged to other people, and if you were to return the status, I would never be able to counterclaim against them. We're not concerned about that. Right now, as matters stand right now, I have a definite claim against you. But here you can't say that. He doesn't know whether he's claiming whether he's the suffix. Like we said before, there's two possibilities on which he's basing himself: either on the son of the dead of the original dead brother, or on the son of the yavam. So it's one or the other. There's no tainus bari. Right. So therefore, Rav Abba could be even according to Admon. And Rabbi could say what I'm saying is not only according to Admon, it could be even according to the Rabbanon. Ab tam lekam Rabbanon hasam el mishum de amalei shaskas v'ilo mahadam reshtar lemerayu v'lo matzis leishto yedin abadayu. In that case, then the landowner or the guy surrounding has this claim that he's saying I could return the shtaris to their original owners, and then you'll be stuck. You won't be able to do anything with any of them. That's what the Rabbanon are arguing. That's what the Rabbanon are saying. That the surrounding landowner could say, yes, right now I'm only one person, but I'm coming because Yachaba. Originally, these fields belonged to four people. And at that point, when it belonged to four people, if at that point you had lost track of your easement, you wouldn't be able to get it back from any of them. So now, just because I'm one person, you don't have any greater claim because of that. I could still bring things back to that state. But over here, you can't say that. The Bnei Yavam can't very well go and say that we're going to undo things and then return. And Therefore, there are two different cases. Next case. Suffolk for Yavam Shabolach.
No conclusion,
but in other words, at least it's not the same as that machloekas Admon and the Rabbanon. If it was the same machloekas, we would know the halacha is like the Rabbanon against Admon. Since it's not the same machloekas, then we just have to go according to other rules. In this case, the halacha is like Rav.
Main point being that the other you cannot return to the original.
Right.
Original.
To the original, yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Fields you could.
Right.
What suggested is my focus on Samurai and my focus on historical statements, but it never happens.
Sometimes it happens. I think sometimes it can happen. That like they it's based on a diuk and they didn't realize the diuk, but it happens once in a while. All right. Next case. Suffolk for Yavam Shabo Lach like Menichse Sava. Now we have the Suffolk and the Yavam. The Yavam in this case is still alive. The property that they want to discuss dividing is the property of the grandfather, of the father of the Yavam and the Mess. Is the Suffolk whether he's a son of the Mess or the son of the Yavam? So either way, he's a grandson of the Sava. But from which father? Suffolk on the high gavra b'misnehu. So the suffolk says that I'm the son of the brother who died, or pagu didihu. So therefore, half the property belongs to me. Yavam ama at broy didiat v'las lachol emidi. Whereas the yavam says you're my son, you don't get anything because I'm still alive. I come ahead in the line of inheritance.
When the yavam passes away,
yeah.
Then he won't get.
So then, have a yavam vadev a suffolk. Well, then there's no question. The yavam is definitely is a yodish. The suffolk is only a suffolk. Vein suffolk most of me vadev. The suffolk cannot take anything away from the vadev. So this suffolk boy would have to bring some kind of proof, and he doesn't have any. So therefore, none doing.
So the yavam is the
vadev. So therefore, he gets everything. Next case, suffolk of ne yavam shabo lachlus v'nichsei sava. How about a slightly different case? Now you have the yavam died. And the Yavam also died. Now the
Yavam died after the
first brother, obviously after the first brother, otherwise it wasn't a Yavam. Yeah. Now you have this Suffolk and the other children of the Yavam are coming to divide the grandfathers of the Chassim.
Right.
So again, you have, there's no question all of them are grandchildren. The question is, on what basis is this
grandfather,
is this Suffolk, who was his father? Suffolk Amrahu Gavra Bar Misnahu. So the Suffolk says, I am the child of the brother who died, Upalgadidihu, therefore half of the property belongs to me. They say, you are entitled to some of the property. You are our brother. You're entitled to some of the property with us. So then we look at it like this. The half that he admits to them, he admits to them that no matter what, they're entitled to half the property. Because if he's arguing, I'm coming in the place of my father. So therefore, fine, his father would have been entitled to half. So he's entitled to half on that basis, but implying that the Yavam is entitled to the other half. So automatically, the other children get the one half, and they split it among themselves. Yeah. The Suffolk is...
We have the
original mess. You have the Yavam, the Yivam, within 3 months. So now you have a child who's a Suffolk. We don't know whether he came from the mess or from the Yavam. The Yavam had other children. The Yavam himself died, and now they're coming to divide property from the Yavam and the Mess's father. Why not? The Yavams can have other children. The original dead brother can't have any other children. The Yavam can have had other children. From the Yavama or from somebody else, whatever, it doesn't really matter, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So the Suffolk is either way, the Suffolk and the B'nai Yavam, there's no question that they are both grandchildren of the Sava. The question is he their brother or is he their cousin? Yeah, if he's the son of the mess, then he's entitled to half the property, and the Yavam, then the mess was entitled to half, which is the Suffolk gets. The Yavam is entitled to the other half, which his children get, so it's half and half. If he's one of the sons of the Yavam, the mess doesn't get anything. The Yavam will have inherited everything. And then the Suffolk and the B'nai Yavam split it all evenly between them. But let's say, for example, we're talking about a case where say there's three of them. There's the Yavam himself had two children, and then there's the Suffolk.
Okay.
So the Yavam, or not the Yavam, the Suffolk automatically admits that the B'nai Yavam are entitled to half the property, because even if he's the son of the mess, he's not entitled to more than half. Exactly. So therefore, so automatically they get half. The half that he admits to them, Shakli, they take that. Conversely, Tilta de Komodule, Shakal, on the other hand, they admit to him he's entitled to a third, because they're saying, fine, all three of us are the sons of the Yavam, you're entitled to one third of the property. So fine, so he gets one third. So far we've distributed 83% of the property, 50 plus 33. Pashlo Danka, what's left is one sixth.
A third divides with his brothers. If he says he's the son of the Yavam,
if he knew he was the son of the Yavam, there's no question he would get one third. And if he knew that he was the son of the mess, there's no question he would get half and they would get half. So automatically, we start by giving them half, and we start by giving him one third. Now we have one sixth left. Have a moment on multiple suffix. So that one sixth is moment on multiple suffix. There's a suffix on it. Neither one has greater chazaka say it than the other. B'chokin, therefore they divide it. So what comes out then is he ends up with 5/12 of the property, with 41. He ends up with 5/12 because he originally started out with 4/12, which is one third, and then we give him one more 12th, and they end up with 7/12, about 58%. We only say that we say that when we're not sure if any of them has the right to it. Here we know one or the other of them has the right to it. Yemonachachiyavelio is, for example, a case where we have, you have to talk about the case, for example, where someone stole from different people and he's not sure which one he stole from, and then Yemonachachiyavelio, that, because there's no reason to think that it belongs to one of them more than the other. Here it definitely belongs to one of them.
There's two alternatives.
Yeah.
Either it's
son of
the
Yavam,
or son of the
Mess. Right.
And there'll
come,
there will no factual.
Yeah, exactly. One more case, two more cases.
Why do we need to?
Because we wouldn't have known otherwise that we have to divide it like that. It wouldn't have been so obvious, maybe.
Why?
Okay, I mean, you're thinking about it. The
logical.
Okay, but, sometimes you have to point out the logical things also. If not, then you can bet there would be a machlokas rishonim about it.
Yeah, but I mean, the previous case was already...
No, this was the most explicit case so far.
That's
so far we... Last two. Safa v'yavam nichsis safik. Suppose now you have it the other way around. The safik himself died, and now the question is who inherits his property. The question is, the grandfather and the yavam are arguing about that. The father of the mess and the yavam, yeah.
Father of the mess and the yavam, right?
Yeah. No, not the father. Yeah, the father of the mess and here.
The father of the
yavam. Yeah. Shabolach like safik v'nichsei yavam. Or the other way around, you have the grandfather and the safik are arguing about the property of the yavam. So in the first case then, so what do we have then? The grandfather is arguing the safik is the son of the mess. So therefore, since he died without any children, the property goes to me because that's the way it works. When a person dies childless,
yeah.
and no yibum is done, then it goes back to the father. Whereas the yavam argues that the safik is my child, that a proper yibum was done. And then I'm the one who inherits, and then I'm the suffix father,
but
so I inherit.
He has an interest.
Each one of them has an interest, but so what?
Right.
Or in the last case, you have the suffix and the suffix. Again, you have the same problem. The suffix claims that the grandfather claims that you suffix are actually the son of the mess.
Right.
Therefore, I can inherit from the yavam because I'm his father. The suffix comes on the sign is I'm the son of the yavam, so therefore I'm entitled
to
yeah.
Interest to be the son of the yavam.
Yeah. So in those cases, have a moment. Now, multiple suffix. Again, it's money which is the suffix, the chokin, and therefore they divide it because, again, neither one has more of a chazaka than the other.
And they divide it into...
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to cut things short over here because, actually, I have...